The Anton Savage Show
with Kearys.ie
on News Talk.
The reason we are in Greystones is because we are partnering with Street Feast. And from Street Feast, we have Laura Cudahy, who is a member of the Sustainable Greystones community organisation. Before we start, Laura, I have to ask the obvious question. With a name like that, are you any relation?
Ant-in-law.
you're an aunt-in-law.
Of the famous Kieran. Yes.
Is he a good nephew-in-law to
He's a wonderful nephew-in-law.
Okay, well, you're legally
loving and caring.
Tell us a little bit about Street Feast.
Okay, well, Street Feast is a national event being kicked off this weekend here in Greystones, and we're really delighted to be chosen to do it because I'm part of a group called Sustainable Greystones. And we use that term in the broadest sense. We want the human, the economic and the environmental piece of sustainability to come into a town that has grown really fast. And under Greystones Town team, we have linked up and partnered and co-promote now with Sam Bishop, the founder of Street Feast. It's a celebration to get neighbours together, to link up, to communicate, to share food. And we're over the weekend here in Greystones going to be running about 35 of those.
Talk to me about the partial nudity.
Partial nudity. It'll be too windy maybe for partial nudity.
I tell you what, there's a lot of it going on already. Yeah. I was down here early and I arrived into the car park and a man wearing very small shorts walked past me and it came as a surprise. Yes. And there's quite a few of them.
And there's quite a few. Yes, Greystones has a good swimming culture which has now been had some value add with the actual concepts of the saunas, which encourages people to walk around less clad than they might.
The swimming obviously goes on all the time. Street Feast is unique to this weekend.
Yes.
Street Feast is it is a community gathering where everybody comes out and does the equivalent of a Mehel but without the work.
Absolutely. It is about you coming out, getting out of your cars, sitting down with your neighbours, sharing food, celebrating, having the crack, and just in general, building connectivity, establishing collaboration practices, all the things that you need to build resilience into a community. Which otherwise you might miss, and therefore, in general, the community loses. So we're really happy to partner with Street Feast because it absolutely aligns with what we're trying to do, which is to build resilience in Greystones in all aspects of the term.
Do you ever take the view for granted?
Never, because it changes all the time. It changes in the hour, over the 24 hours a day. It's a smashing view. It's a great place.
Yeah. Stunning, because the
combination
of the coast.
Beautiful, clean water.
And it has to be said, I have never seen the backside of Brayhead before. It has a lovely backside.
It has a great backside, and hopefully we get all that cliff walk up and running again with the help of Wicklow County Council and Mountain Mehel and all the other good people who are trying to reopen that cliff walk and give everybody the chance to get back and see that view themselves.
Oh, was there a cliff walk around to
There's
Bray?
There's a smashing cliff walk from Bray to Greystones. There's been a bit of rock slippage and consequently it's closed at the minute, but we have in Sustainable Greystones presented to Wicklow County Council a possible solution to get people back out and be able to enjoy that magnificent amenity.
You mentioned Sam Bishop, the CEO of Street Feast. He's going to be with us a little bit later on with Aubrey McCarthy, the chairman of Tig Lynn and Sinead Smith, an organiser of local Street Feast. And if you want to find out more about Street Feast, it is obviously streetfeast.ie is where you can find out the info. Are you going to be cooking yourself, Laura?
Yes, on our road, we're having one tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, New Road. Oh, that's a surprise.
Laura, thank you very much.
Okay.
Laura Cudahy is a member of Sustainable Greystones. And while we are talking about Wicklow and tourism and travel into Wicklow, Wicklow, I think, is unique in the country, though, correct me if I am wrong, in having its own passport. With me is Owen Corry, travel journalist and editor of Air and Travel magazine. Owen, what is the story with the Wicklow passport?
Good morning, Anton, and sorry to distract you from the backside of Greystones and partial nudity. It's 9:10 in the morning.
I was as shocked as you, Owen.
The Wicklow passport was a great idea. It was launched in June 2001 when things in travel were pretty grim. And the idea really was to showcase the range of attractions across the county. And the idea was you get your passport, you stamp it in 15 places, and there are about 110 to choose from. And as a result of that, you become a Wicklow ambassador. I'm not exactly sure what diplomatic immunity that gives you for, you know, getting your car clamped or anything like that. But it got you a neck warmer and a sort of this status and that you could put up on your wall. It really was a great idea because Wicklow is a very diverse county, Antone. It's a difficult county to consider as a unit, and that applies to GAA, where they have 65 clubs, some of them on one side of the mountain, the others on the other side of the mountain. The two main roads are divided by those mountains. So to create this concept of Wicklow as a tourism unit was a bit of a challenge for Wicklow Tourism, and this is one of the ways they went around it. If you were to think of Wicklow as a country, if they were, you know, they would be the same size as Hong Kong, they'd be the same size as Bahrain, they'd be the same size as Mauritius, and they'd be around the world telling everyone what a beautiful place they are, and everybody should come. And I've been to all of those countries, and Wicklow has far more to offer, Anton.
But you're right about the diversity of the types of tourism, because you've got the kind of five-star nestled in the hills, former Guinness properties, you know, destination resorts and hotels. You've got the hiking around places like Loch Dan, Glendalough. You've got the coast. And then you've got a lot of the county that functions as dormitory towns to Dublin and quasi-suburbs.
And really interesting stuff in there. You know, the Dwyer McAllister cottage is really out of the way. You wonder how did this become a major site in Irish history, and the story of how it did so is as interesting as the place itself. The town of Shillelagh, which gave its name to the stage Irish stick, which shows up in cartoons like The Simpsons and Family Guy, quite an interesting story, because the original sticks came from the woods around there. Places that would be off the road from, if you're driving down towards Wexford off the N7, off the M9, and you go on those, the Blessington to Baltinglass route, every single by road there offers a whole host of treasures that if they didn't have Glendalough and the beautiful coastline of Bray and Greystones and everything on the other side of the county to compete with, would all be fated in their own right. As you say, five-star Wicklow has got a name around the world, the Paris Court and the other boutique hotels, which I would not tire everyone out by trying to name it one by one or get into trouble myself. But the hiking Wicklow is, because it's so close to Dublin, it has quite a name, the Wicklow Way, the St. Kevin's Way. There's a second St. Kevin's Way going to be introduced. So they have all these, this litany of treasures, and they're all within each niche very famous. But bringing the whole lot together and reminding people that there are other bits, that was really, I think, the objective of the Wicklow Passport.
Is it matched anywhere else around the country that you know of? Is there anywhere else that does that? Because there are certain areas which would have the same kind of tourism and general branding that Wicklow have, thinking about places like Killarney and the Lakes. Are there other areas in the country that do a similar kind of networked passport?
Not really. It's a sort of an idea that came and went in tourism terms, and is still used in marketing. It's still used when people put together a roadshow or a conference, and they want to make sure that everyone who arrives, the exhibitors, get value for their money. So they get them to make sure that they've called and had a chat at each place. The notion of calling to each of the attractions and getting your passport stamped there was quite unique, and I think it would be quite distinctive for somewhere which has a couple of, every county has three or four headline attractions that everybody can name, three or four that they're sort of familiar with, and then you're down into areas where exactly is that? And that's the challenge that all of the tourism officers around the country, we're very, very active, really hard work being done at county level for Irish tourism. That's the challenge they all face. This was Wicklow's approach to it, Anton.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on. That's
always
Owen Curry, editor of Air and Travel magazine.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.